Should the U.S. ambassador to South Korea have been better protected? Today, the AP reports that his attacker, a pro-unification activist, is so well known that when he entered the breakfast meeting where the attack took place, a police officer asked the event organizers, the Korean Council for Reconciliation and Cooperation, if he should be allowed in. He was, and he slashed Ambassador Mark Lippert with a 10-inch knife. Who provides protection for U.S. ambassadors, and should there be more after one was killed in the attack on a U.S. compound in Benghazi, Libya? Ambassador Christopher Hill is the dean of the Joseph Corbell School of International Studies at the University of Denver. He served as ambassador to Iraq, Poland, Macedonia, and South Korea. He's just returned from Korea. Ambassador, welcome.
Thank you very much.
You know, there have already been calls for more protection. So first start with, how does it work? We presume it depends on how friendly the country is seen as being to the U.S., but who provides security?
It's not just the friendliness of the country, it's what the overall level of security is in the country. And according to the Vienna Convention, it is the responsibility of the host country to take care of foreign diplomats. And that is why in many countries you'll see rings of the host country policemen around the embassy to protect the embassy. Now, obviously, the U.S. has certain protections as well. We have Marine guards to protect classified information. But generally speaking, with some notable exceptions, we ask the host government to provide protection if there needs to be protection of the ambassador. And so when I was in the Republic of Korea, I had a Korean law enforcement official assigned to me as a sort of close-in protection, otherwise known as a bodyguard.
Well, we understand in this case, the U.S. embassy had its own small security detail, but by South Korean law, South Korea doesn't provide protection unless it's asked. It wasn't asked, but still sent some police officers anyway. So not a lot of protection there. But does it surprise you that a man with a knife who'd had a history, he was charged with throwing a piece of concrete at the Japanese ambassador in 2010. Are you surprised he was allowed to even go in and get so close?
Frankly, I am surprised by that. I don't quite understand why the organizers would have made him a member of their organization and sat him at a table that was in close proximity to our ambassador. So I find that a bit of a mystery. I don't, however, feel this is something on the U.S. side or at the embassy side. I think this has to do with the organizers and their ability to hold a proper event without this kind of disruption.
Well, as you know, it's led to these calls for more protection. People saying that, especially post-Benghazi and in the current global climate, ambassadors should be ringed with protection. What does that do?
Well, look, this is all about managing risk. You cannot avoid risk. I mean, there's risk all over the world, so you have to manage it. And I think with respect to South Korea, risk is well managed. That is, there is a bodyguard with the ambassador. There's a very good relationship, good information flow between host country police and law enforcement and the U.S. Embassy's security office. So I think by all accounts, risk is well managed in South Korea. When I was in Iraq, I had an army go with me when I visited the foreign ministry or something. I had something like 25 people, including a helicopter overhead. And I think risk was well managed there, but at a different level, obviously.
But it sounds like you're saying you still have to be out there because you're an ambassador.
You got it. And, it is really about the fact that, of course, you could minimize risk by locking the ambassador up in his or her office all day. But an ambassador has to be out there. And as a public official, as a public figure, there's a certain amount of risk associated with that. I must say, Ambassador Lippert and many of his predecessors, including myself, I mean, we'd often walk alone on the streets of Seoul. I mean, this is not a place that's perceived as high threat. I mean, it's one thing when you have the U.S. president visiting a country to have metal detectors and the like, but I think normally in a country like Korea, which is pretty well buttoned up, I think going into a breakfast meeting without necessarily having people all frisked is within what I would consider risk parameters.
I mean, the point is that if this man got into a breakfast event, he was going to get a utensil. So the question is, how did he get in? That still seems to be the question.
That is a question. I'd like to know how that organization would have had a person like that. I mean, he had a public record. He had a suspended jail sentence, but he was guilty of attacking the Japanese ambassador. So what was he doing in that event and as a member of that organization? So I think that is a fair question to be investigating, and I'm sure the Republic of Korea authorities will get to the bottom of that.
Ambassador Christopher Hill, again, served as ambassador to Iraq, Poland, Macedonia, South Korea. Now he's dean of the Joseph Korbel School of International Studies at the University of Denver. Ambassador Hill, thank you.
Thank you very much.